Welcome to Kingdom Mandate with Apostle Sidney Quay, Head Pastor of Shekinah Avenue. Now, let's listen to today's message.
We wait for you.
Jonah 1, 5, 2 to 11. John 1, 12 to 13. I have two sets of things to do. Today we are looking at instructions in the blessing. We are looking at responsibility. I will start with talking about things that are expected of you practically. Then after that, I will end with responsibility as a son or child of God. What to enforce. So when I'm ending, I'll be leading you in declarations and a short period of speaking in the language of the Spirit and making some enforcement over your destiny. We have been looking at instructions in the blessing. We have looked at repentance. We have looked at meditation. We have looked at prayer and fasting. We have looked at the principle of receiving. And today we are looking at responsibility. Let's read Jonah 1:5. It says that then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the words that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster, the captain, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. 7. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause, the NIV says, that we may know who is responsible for this evil that has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? First question. Second question, when comest thou? Third, what is thy country? Four, and of what people are thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? For the sea rough and was tempestuous. Look at 12. Let me read a bit. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. John 1:12 now. I read 12 and 13. It's a popular scripture, one of the foundational scripture for our benediction. It says that, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power, exousia, rights, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, colon, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Responsibility is response to ability. Just two words. Responsibility is your response to ability. You can't ask a response from a person who is not enabled. When the person has ability, the response to that ability that is expected is called responsibility. So for anybody that has an ability, there is a response that is expected from the person. So, if you are a father, it is an enablement. There is a response we expect from what? You being a father. I heard something yesterday funny. Let me start on the funny side before I get to the more serious part. A man of God was preaching and said that there was a program where the prophet was prophesying. And the prophet said that he wants to pray for widows. Then a woman who came with the husband stood up and came to the altar to be prayed for. So as the woman was coming, the man said, hey, who come here?
You don't have to touch him.
Sit down. Where are you going? Sit down.
Then woman said, it is my faith. Leave me alone. Then she went.
Then when the prayer was ended and she came back, the husband was embarrassed. So the husband was like, why did you do that? Then the woman said, you don't pay school fees. You don't provide food in the house. You don't pay rent. You don't do anything. I am a widow. Now, responsibility is a responsibility. So when you are enabled, what we expect is that you'll be responsible. Now, there are three factors at play on earth. God and all that belongs to God. The devil and all that belongs to the devil. And man and all that belongs to man. This is where it gets interesting. For the devil, whether you like it or not, he will do what he has to do. Actually, he had a testimony. He said, I've been walking to and fro on the face of the earth. It is his assignment. He checks everything up and down. He walks. He said, I've been going to and fro. So he is at work already. God also said, before the foundations of the earth, the works were already finished. So God is so responsible that whatever he needs to do, he has already done. Now it is left with you. You cannot blame anybody for anything that happens to you. You cannot. How your life is today, how your life will be tomorrow, how your marriage is today, how your marriage will be tomorrow, how your children are, you can't blame anybody. The only person that can be blamed is yourself. We are starting now. The losses you have made, the gains you have made, you can't blame anybody. You can't blame anybody. But this is the funny part. Man will always put blame on something. The last thing he will blame is himself. He will blame God. He will blame friends. He will blame environment. He will blame something, but not himself. And that is what we need to deliver ourselves from. Anybody that is giving control, you become accountable. You become responsible. To whom much is given, much is expected. So we are going to become very responsible. Very responsible. Very responsible. Very responsible. Seven areas that God expects you to be responsible. I was telling you about Jonah. First place is love. You must be responsible to love. You must make sure you love. It is not a suggestion. It is called the royal law. Fulfilling the royal law, that is love. You must give up anything to love. Because love is a powerful, powerful force. You know the way Solomon says it? Solomon said death is like love. Love is that strong like death. And love is strong like jealousy. He said many waters cannot quench love. Then he added and said that, don't stir and awaken my love, O daughters of Jerusalem. Solomon was a champion lover. I mean, he loved and loved till he loved what he should not love. Love is a mandate. It is a command. You must decide. You must make the decision that I am going to love from now till the day that I put my head to sleep. Or the day that I'm... You must make it a decision. Not dependent on who or what they do. Nothing at all. You must decide. You will love your family. You will love your wife. You will love your husband. You will love even your enemies. You must choose to love. It is a choice. And the love we are called to is not the love in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, it says that thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. Then it also says that thou shalt love the Lord your God. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. The New Testament doesn't start with love God and love your neighbor. The New Testament starts with God's love. For God so loved. The Old Testament doesn't have the love of God expressed properly. It's the New Testament that Paul tells us that we should test the depth, the height, the breadth, and the length of the love of God. Because when we love, we are filled with His fullness. It is your responsibility to love. In love is kindness. In love is patience. In love is forgiveness. They should never be heard on your tongue that I will forgive this. I am holding this against this one. If you do that, you are not responsible. You are very irresponsible. Because the Bible says, to whom much has been given, much is required. You have been given so much that all your sins are forgiven before you do them. So much is expected from you.
Whether it's from your family, your husband wrongs you, you forgive. Your wife wrongs you, you forgive. Your boss wrongs you, you must forgive. You don't have a choice as a child of God. Paul said, oh, no man anything but to love. God making it a command said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. But many people don't love. They choose who to love and they choose who to hate. When you do that, you are walking out of the light. Paul had funny things to say. John even makes it more interesting. John said that anybody that does not love his brother that he sees, then the God he says he's serving is not true. John continues to say, is that anybody that hates a brother is in death and abides in darkness even until now. So what I'm saying is that if you have any issue with anybody, do your best to solve it. Don't hold grudges. Jesus said if you come to the altar to pray and you remember you have faulted anyone, leave your present and go before you come and offer. These are hard things. It is a dangerous thing. You must understand that on the earth you are living, you will be hurt. People will offend you. People will betray you. People will lie about you. People won't speak the truth. It is normal to the earth. It is not strange. It is a common thing. It happens. So you must decide and make that decision. No matter what happens, I am going to love. I am going to love. I am going to love. That is your first responsibility. Your second responsibility is diligence. You enter into one person's room. He has got a single room. You enter in. Everything looks bizarre. Meanwhile, this same person is expecting the blessing of a three-bedroom. He's expecting three-bedroom. And he's looking at how sophisticated it will be. Meanwhile, you enter into a single room and it is not well kept. You must be diligent. You must be hard working. Work is part of our responsibility. The first thing God gave to man was work. You can't lazy about around your work. You know, people want good jobs, they want good things, but the one in their hands, they are not taking care of it. God doesn't want us that way. Whatever you do, do it diligently with all your strength, everything in you. Not only should you do it hard, let discipline and focus. Let discipline and focus be around it. Be focused. Paul said that, why is it that you are busy about other people's business? You must learn it. Be diligent by being disciplined. There are a lot of believers that are not disciplined. Not disciplined at all. It will trust grace for everything. If you don't work, if you don't labor, you must labor. Whatever profession you are in, you must labor. Become the best. It is a responsibility. A responsibility. Do it well. If it's a doctor, do it well. If it is selling ice water, do it well. I saw a young man. He said, Apostle, I've received a prophecy that the Lord said that he has made me an international minister. I will go all around the globe, and the globe, they shall know my name, and my name shall be great because of the Abrahamic blessing. I looked at him. I asked, since you heard that, how is your prayer life like? How much have you separated yourself unto God? He's busily walking around everywhere, praying in every house for money. I looked at him and said, by the time you are getting there, you have been cut short. That is the way people are like. Somebody starts a business, something small, they are not consistent. I know somebody that began a pottery farm. He had 150,000 pottery. Nice one. 150. Did well. After that, I heard from him. He said, Apostle, I am moving to the 2,000 now. Now, the 150 that he had, let me say amen first. The 150 that he had, the profits he got, he wanted quick money for 2,000. So he went and used the 150, which he could have increased to 300. He went and used it for road contract. Because he was told that the government is selling some contracts. Once he gets some, the profit margins are huge. So he went and paid the money. Now after paying the money is locked. He can't do the pottery. Diligence, discipline, focus. Whatever your hands are found to do, focus. Stay with it. Give it your best shot. See, normally I won't preach this way. I'll preach the life. I will end with that. But we must be focused. Don't compare yourself with anyone. Stay focused. The only thing for comparison is God's word. Don't compare your prayer life with another person. Your prayer life to be measured by the word. It's a prayer without season. Whatever your hands find to do, be disciplined, committed. Because if you are faithful in little, God will make you have bigger ones. A lot of people are not faithful with little. Little opportunities, little money, little open doors, little relationship that you have, they abuse it. When you live like that and you're not disciplined, nothing will stay in your hands. It's a principle for the earth. Hard work. If you're a pastor, stay in, fast, read, pray. Walking around won't do anything for you. Lock yourself, fast, pray, meditate on chapters, memorize chapters. If you're a doctor, read. If you're an architect, read, expand yourself. Because we have a reputation for God to keep here. You must be the best at your work, and you won't be the best if you are lazy. Madre, possess your body in sanctification. These are instructions. People do anything to their body, anything. They drink into their body, they smoke into their body, womanize with their body, all in the name of grace. The Bible says that he that destroys the body, he shall be destroyed. The body has its own mechanism. You can hide and drink, but you're destroying your body. Your liver is coming under pressure. Your kidneys under pressure. I met a young lady. One of the days they rushed the person to counseling. Nice, pretty lady. I asked, what is the problem? He said, I've got HIV. Then I asked, how? He said, a man tricked me. I looked at her, led her to Christ, trusted God for her, prayed for her, but she died. Responsibility. You are responsible over your body. What goes in, what comes out. It is your responsibility. It is your highest responsibility. Your body is God's temple. You must treat it like a temple. Imagine you came to church now, and when you came, we're playing Abinwoha. We're playing. Will you be happy in church? You came here and the music pastor lifted. What song is now raining? Imagine you come to church. That's what we are playing. You look at us and say that we are not serious. I mean, this is not what you expect. It's the same way you must hold your body in that sanctity. Some songs don't proceed, not in your home, not on your lips. This is possessing your body in sanctification. He said, don't yield your members as instruments of sin. He said, these sins should not be named among you as becoming saints. Not even once. Fornication. He said, not even once. Not even once. Not even once. These things are holy. Husbands that go behind their wives. Wives that do fast ones. Wives that are. He said, it should not be. You possess your body in holiness. You possess it in holiness. You do the right thing, say the right thing. That is your responsibility. Nobody can do that for you. It's your responsibility. Like you're hiding and drinking something in some corner. Don't do that. I remember a pastor friend. He will hide and he will be staking superbet. I said, superbet? Yes. Bam. When we caught him, he said he's practicing his word of knowledge. He said he's practicing word of knowledge. And there is receiving, so he's trying to predict Manchester and Liverpool 2-1. He said, I had it in my spirit. Possess your body in sanctification. Possess it in sanctification. Look, it is critical. One mistake of David, one, just one, messed up his whole family. He knew how to escape it. All the other ones were not trained in God's right to know how to escape it. He knew how. After he did a mistake, he knew how to talk to God. He went to God. He said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Create in me a clean heart. An Old Testament saint prayed. There was a problem. He knew how to talk to God. He knew what God wanted. He had a problem and he said, Lord, you see, don't leave me in the hands of men. He said, Lord, this thing that I've done, men need to punish me, but don't leave me in their hands. The Lord said, okay. Then he turned to him and said, now, Lord, you deal with me. Then he said, Lord, you know you are very merciful and tender hearted. You are a gracious God. This is why I started by reading Jonah. Because Jonah is one of the few prophets who had the knowledge of God in a way I always get amazed at. Because when you read a story, it starts with God speaking and it ends with God speaking. He said, and the Lord said to Jonah, Jonah, go and preach in Nineveh. Then immediately God spoke, go and preach. He said, what am I going to preach and prophesy? He said, go and say that Nineveh shall be overthrown in 40 days. Then Jonah said, Lord, yes, Lord. Is that what he said? After he heard, he made plans. He said, look, I am not going to go on this assignment. The Bible said he went to Joppa, took a ship, was going to Tarshish, running and fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And when he was on sea, tempest, waves rose up against Jonah. He was sleeping, the others were suffering. They were afraid. He was comfortably asleep. Then Jonah goes through the motion. I just get amazed at his level of relationship with God. Not his disobedience, his level of relationship. Because when he refuses to go, and they ask him, they say, come, let us consult and find whose fault it is. Who is responsible for this problem? When it fell on him, he knew what to do. He said, just cast me into the sea. The boat said, how? We don't want to have blood, innocent blood on our hands. We cannot do it. And the wind of God and the wrath of God was stronger on the sea. So the people then confessed that they are not guilty of his blood, threw him into the water, and immediately the water calmed. Then God prepared a whale, swallowed Jonah up. And I get surprised that this man then prophesied about Christ in the whale. He prophesied about Christ in the whale. That was his prophecy. In the midst of the belly of the whale, he prophesied about Christ's death, the corruption and his resurrection. He was vomited out. When he came and he preached, after he preached, he went across his leg at the eastern side of the city, crossed his leg, waiting for fire to fall. Then fire didn't fall because the people repented, fasted, and prayed. Jonah then was angry, very angry, very angry. He said, Lord, I am angry to the point of death. Then the Lord said, why? He said, this is why I was running away. Because I know the way you are. That after I go there, shout, the city shall be destroyed. It shall be destroyed. It shall be destroyed. You will forgive. So knowing this, I decided not to go. But here I am. I have come. After using my reputation, 3 days prophesying, nothing has happened. I want to even die. I am angry. Very angry. He said, I want to die. The Lord said, Jonah, you don't do well. It's not good. You can't be behaving like this. He walked away and went and sat at another place and made a covering for his head. When he had made the covering for his head, the sun was so scorching that God then decided to provide a gorge plant to cover him so that he can be fine. Then he was enjoying the breeze under the tree and under the gorge. Then God sent wind, I mean strong wind with heat, beat his body. He saw that the God that was protecting him, worms ate it off. Then he lost it again. He said, Lord, now kill me now. The thing you didn't do, my complaints to, is this my reward? Jonah. And after that, then God told him, you care for even the plant you did not produce. How much more Nineveh? Now you are responsible, very responsible, very responsible for your spiritual growth. Nobody, that is so, nobody is responsible for your growth spiritually. You are responsible. You are very responsible. Your spiritual growth and your growth of the soul, you are responsible for it. He said, desire the sincere milk as little children. You must desire it. I am laying these principles down before I go and begin. I'm preaching our blessings. These things are essential. You must grow spiritually. You must make time. If you don't spend time with God, you won't grow. If you don't spend time in prayer, you won't grow. You must have topical studies. Take your Bible, open it, learn about righteousness, learn about faith. Don't wait for church. I wonder how many people, when I am done, will go for the slide, read. How many people will stay with the word, open their Bibles to check that even the things I am saying is true. Those things are missing in church. Finally, missing in church. Your growth is your responsibility. What we do is to teach and help you grow. But the level of your growth is your responsibility. That you call family fast, family prayer times. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the stirring of the Spirit. No. You don't need any stirring. You need to practice it. You need to practice it. Practice. These things are essential. 4 is growth. 5 is service and ministry. People now are very busy. You must use your profession to serve the kingdom. In soul winning, in all the things. You can't just be in an office. You have been there 10 years. You have never preached Christ before. 10 years. 10. I said I had a funny experience.
So Sydney Quay will be right back. Follow us on all our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Skype, YouTube at Shekinah Avenue. Continues.
When I visited one of the major banks in Ghana, they were dying. As I then the gunshots, you know, some people were attacking some bankers. There was a time some years back, they shot some in hotel, some were shot on their way to their houses, and the bank organized a prayer session for protection. So I had to go and lead them in prayers for their life to be spared, because they don't know who is next. We get there and imagine who organized it. A Muslim. The MD was a Muslim. The assistant was a Christian. The Muslim initiated it. Then the Christian supported it. After 2 years, this bank, this place we preached, people got saved, they were covered, the death stopped. 2 years, they made a Christian MD. He canceled all Christian programs in the name of, there are other religions here. Muslims are here, there are some Hindu, so we can't. If you do it, it's like, it's against the policies. Meanwhile, the Muslim, I am telling you how irresponsible we are. We don't take service serious. You have people who depend on you. You feed them, you pay their fees. Don't just pay their fees, sit them down, preach the gospel. You have an authority over. Preach the gospel to them. If it is your fees going to pay for them, talk to them, they will listen. You take advantage of all these things, service and ministry. There is a blessing in service. Don't be in church, you don't do anything, it is not good. Do something. Be a giver, be a server, be an usher, be a helper, be something in church. Do something. I have seen strange stuff, strange things. Once we went to pray for somebody at the hospital dying at the point of death, and when we got there, the guy has said so much that when we entered, when we Prophet Michael, we entered, this man who was sick to the point of death jumped out of the sick bed, then lay on the floor. I was embarrassed. Laid on the floor. He said two things. He's a man of God. I know you have come to deliver me and take my life from death. My hands are lifted. My wife, bring my bag. Open the bag. He poured out all money on our feet. The nurses were all around us. I was lost. Prophet Michael was also lost. This man had an emergency surgery the next morning. When he did that, the Spirit of God came upon us. We said, sir, for your service sake and for your service for the kingdom, I shall bless your bread. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. I shall bless your bread and I will bless your water, and I will take sickness from the midst of thee, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Not you will fulfill. The word says that I will fulfill. I am responsible to fulfill your years. Then we laid hands on him. He fell under power. The transaction was done. At evening, they said they wanted to do a further test. When they did the test, everything had become normal. You see, you need to serve. Service makes you expectant with God. It creates an expectancy in you. You need to serve. Serve with children. Serve in the prayer line. Serve in the prayer department. Serve among the women. Serve among the youth. If you are not doing anybody favor. No. I was explaining to some people. They said, oh, Apostle, we have come to help you. I said, no, you don't help me. How are you coming to help me? No, you are coming to serve. I am serving. I don't need help. You also are coming to serve. We are one God whom we are all serving. Nobody is helping anybody. No. I am saying this to build the next case. I wanted to pay attention. Listen, service is so critical. You can show up here. You know, people come to church with their titles. I'm MD. I am D director. I am DD. You don't need that in church. It is not in church. When you come here, we are all brothers and sisters. The poor, the rich, the weak, the sick, the broken, we are all together. Have you seen me use pastor to lord it on anybody in this church? Never. The title is not anything. It's not. I will not be rewarded for apostleship. I'll be rewarded for practical service. How much I give, how much I take what I do serious. And you would also be rewarded based on several titles. They are titles. I went somewhere. I was with a man of God. We walked in, and the usher didn't know us. So the usher said, please sit here. He said, don't you know that I'm the bishop? I was like, what? Whoa. Thinking that the usher has dishonored. He said, don't you know? How can you put me here? I should be in the front there. Don't, when you pass, when you finish the service, I will papa papa. Then they brought him forward. So I followed him. He came and sat down. I looked at him. I shook my head. The Bible said, if you want to be great, be the servant of all. That is the principle in the kingdom. You know, when Jesus said that, they had gathered and they were talking. Who will be greatest among us? Then Jesus called and said, what are you talking about? He said, if you want to be great, I decided some 15 years back when I said I would do ministry, I decided that I will run a church model like Christ. Anybody can approach me anywhere. with no reverential. I remember we went to do waiting at a place, and whilst we were doing the waiting, they came and gave us cutlass to go and weed, because we had to go and weed. They said we needed to weed. Come and see Pastor Della. He said, no, Apostle, this one, no. Apostle, no, and we can't do this. And the people don't respect the oil and the grace of God. He's so important we understand service. So important that a lawyer will come to church, be willing to clean. A doctor serving, no. You see, this is the beauty. The rich are holding the hands of the poor. The Bible said in the apostolic church, those that had sold what they had and they brought it to the feet of the apostles, and distribution was made so that there was nobody in lack. Now, the same thing you need to do is giving. Responsibility to give is a responsibility. A big, big, big responsibility. The believer in the New Testament is not commanded to just give tithe. He is expected to give beyond his tenth. It is an expectation. You have the choice to obey it. There is the first fruit. There is the seed offering. And there is alms. Four different levels of giving in the body. And each has its reward. Some people do it in church. They want to do alms giving with church. No. You don't help church with alms. No. The church doesn't run on alms. We give alms to those that are destitute, those that are broken, orphanages. And it is your Christian responsibility. Even Islam, one of the pillars of Islam is giving to what? Zakat. You must cultivate that level of giving. Give to the poor. Not that when you are driving, you look at the boys on the street, you are like, ah, look at these people. Look at them. They don't have parents. You look at them and even look at them again and say, these boys, the government should do something about them. They are the thieves and the people on the street. When was the last time you prayed for them? One, two. Or help any of them. I've seen people take people off the streets and establish them. I've seen organizations that go out after prostitutes and train them and re-establish them and put them back into society. Because this is our responsibility. The arms of that dimension does that. There is a seed. The seed, you practice it. When you respond to God's word and you decide to take an offering, a seed offering, and you give. You see, offering is not just like you sit down in church and they said offering time, then you check. Okay, I've got 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, today let me give them 10. The Bible said you purpose in your heart before you come. Your offerings are prepared. You prepare your heart to give. First fruit is over your increase. Tithe is a statement of the blessing. It is an acknowledgement that the complete thing belongs to God. This is what David said in Chronicles 28. He said, you, Lord, what we give to you, we don't have a right to say we are giving to you, because we are giving out of what you gave to us. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power. You give honor and greatness. When you give tithe, devourer is rebuked. There's increase poured over you. When you give first fruit, he says that your barns shall overflow. When you give seed, you get the multiples of either 30, 60, or 100. These are principles. Say time, harvest time. So you learn it. You give alms, because he says, he who gives alms, he lends to the Lord. When you give to the poor, they can reward you. So you expect from the Lord. And because you expect from the Lord. The Lord then acknowledges that and owes you. He says, he that gives to the poor has gotten the Lord to owe him. It's a loan, and the Lord will pay. These are principles of giving in the Bible. Paul said, be instant in season and out of season. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the gospel in season. Preach it out of season. Go ye into the world, preach the gospel. You have lived with your husband 10 years. You have never talked about Christ. Your boss never about Christ. Your sisters never about Christ. When I got born again, together with my brother, we decided that this family, we are on a project to save them. I prayed in my room until my father sacked us. He sacked me and my brother from the house. He sacked us. He said that you are not coming back to this house. What is this? Shabbat, Shabbat. What is that? Shabakam, what are you saying? Where did you learn it? Then they brought our grandmother. He sat us down. He said, where did you people learn this? Do you know who your father is? We said, no, he's our father. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that it's part of the lawyers that drafted the Anglican Constitution for West Africa. So he's a strong believer. So what is this thing you're doing in this house? We said, we know that he said he's a believer. But every year we do Omoho. He sacrifices. He baths in water. He makes confessions in this same house. We know. But we can say it's not truly saved. And guess what they will do to us? They showed us where power lies. Chase us out. It was our mother, my stepmother. She came out. Asked us, what are we going to do? We said, we are going to the next house. We are going to stay by their mango tree. We'll climb the mango tree, sit by the wall for a while until the temper of daddy what? Calms down. imagine what this was accumulated. Because as at that time, the church I was in, Redemption Power Ministry, was building. And the building, we were doing bongo, you know bongo, pushing the track. We were pushing track and pushing track. Apparently, my daddy was passing by. Saw his sons with no shirt, pushing track with sand in it. So he parked the car, looked at us, made sure it was us. And when he had made sure it was us, he went home and crossed his leg waiting for us. When he said, "Where did you go?" "Oh, we were in church." He said, "Doing what?" We said, "Oh, we were in church." He said, "Doing what?" He was a lawyer. So he said, "Doing what?" We said, "Oh, we were in church." He said, "Doing what?" Before we could say anything, what do you think will come? Slap, pa, pa. He said, "Look at you, bad boys. You are disgracing me in the area. Lawyer sons, and you are there doing bongo, pushing with chest. That church you are stopping with immediate. They are not teaching you anything there. How can they teach you to take off your shirt and push this thing? When did I make you push anything in this house? Nothing. Service. By the time he died, he was converted. My senior brother got converted. The one after him got converted. Two sisters converted. Our brother who gave us the trouble, pa, in the house, when we were speaking in tongues, was making fun of us. One of the days we tell you, we say, you will speak in these tongues, eh? And you will fall on the ground. Today, he's also a prophet. When we see him, he is older than us. So when we see him, he tries to bully us with his age. We tell him, listen, we brought you, are our convert. In Christ, you are a young boy. Keep quiet. But the fun of it, take the names of your family members. Take it to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I claim this soul for you. I declare they shall not die in ignorance. I bind the forces of evil. I release words over them. I release the gospel on their path. Let somebody meet them at their job, in the car. Let the gospel reach to them. Let their minds be unloosed. Let the blindness depart. Let them know Jesus. Let them know Jesus." Do you know what somebody said who went to heaven? When she came, she said, when she went to heaven, one of the things that God did is that your family members that you could not help to be saved, their memory will be taken from your mind. So you will remember them because they are lost eternally. And there is nothing that should make anybody sorrowful in that place. When you sit in the Uber, evangelize. When you're buying the shop, evangelize. They sow a seed anywhere, every time. John 1:12. This is the other aspect of your responsibility. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right, the liberty, the jurisdiction, the authority, the privilege to become what? Sons of God." He said he gave them the right. It's up to you. What are you going to do with it? He gave them rights. As many as believed in his name, he gave them the rights. The rights to become sons of God, to have the placement as sons, to become sons of God. What a privilege. Look at what follows. Then he says, this is where the revelation is. Then he says, at 13, he says, "Which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God." I'm going to give you something to think about for the next 1 month. As simple as this verse is, it says that there are three things that regulates a man that is natural. It is one, he's born after the will of blood, he's born after the will of flesh, and he's born after the will of, pay attention to the scripture, three things: born of flesh, born of the will of what? Man. And born of what? Blood. When you are born, what sustains your life is blood. Everything in your bloodline can affect you as a natural man. But when you get born again, you are no longer born by blood. No blood disease should kill you. No blood disease must kill you. It has no right, because you are not born of blood. It is no longer blood. It is eternal life. Jesus said, he said, "He that eats me shall live by me. For God has given us life, and this life is in his Son. And whosoever has the Son has this life." I declare over your life, your life is no longer by blood. Your blood is not controlling your life. Hey, brothers and sisters, eternal life is real. No longer by blood. No longer by blood. No blood cancer, no BP. In the word of the Lord, live an eternal life. Your cells receive life. Your organs receive life. Receive it. What is in your bloodline cannot touch you. The cycles in your bloodline, they cannot touch you. What happened to your father's father cannot touch you. What is expected in your family house cannot also touch you, because you are not born of blood. I declare over your body, beyond your blood, eternal life is at work. Your organs are healed. Listen, I want you to take the things we say serious. The last time I gathered the pastors here, we were praying for somebody in Uganda, and whilst we were praying, this is a young man who told me, whilst we were praying, he made a call with his phone to somebody that was sick. I think they said corona or something. Somebody who was sick with corona in India. He made the call whilst we were praying and added the person to the prayer time, when we were not even praying for him. We were praying for the person in Uganda, and this guy did that connection. Yesterday, I was, after Friday service, I was enjoying myself at the bar. He said, "Apostle, you can't believe it." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Sir, whilst I did that call, after the call, the next day the man is healthy, whole, and discharged." Claire, you see, you are a carrier of eternal life. Listen, you are not also born by the will of man. Do you know what it means? It means that nobody's will can thwart your life. It does not matter what the will outside there. Only the will of God shall be done concerning your life. Your home shall be blessed. Your work blessed. Your life blessed. Hey, your finances blessed. Only the will of God. Not the will of flesh. Not what we see. Not what we hear. It has no control over your life. Can you believe? Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I assess the benefits of eternal life over my blood. Over the will of man and the will of flesh, I declare by eternal life, I have escaped every blood disease and every disease that is in life. I have escaped it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare by the word of God, every organ in my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I am totally healed by reason of eternal life. I push out blood diseases, cancers, typhoid, malaria. I declare every abnormality in my blood, in my cells, in my organs, I push it out by eternal life. Say, in the name of Jesus, the will of man cannot prevail against my assignment. Say, the will of man cannot prevail against my assignment. By eternal life, I have overcome every obstacle programmed by man and by the environment where I live and I work. I have overcome it. I have escaped it. By eternal life. In the name of Jesus. Say, by this life of God, I have been programmed. Not to be sick, not to be weak, not to be barren. By this life, I have been programmed to be successful, to be wise, to be intelligent, to be counseled, to be blessed, to be anointed. By this life, I have been made righteous. You declare, by this eternal life, I have received power to make wealth. By this eternal life, I have received ideas to progress. By this eternal life, my home is free from diseases, pains in my bones, pains in my back, in my spine and my heart, they disappear. By this life, say, in the name of Jesus, I assess this life of God. As I pray, I declare, I am born of God. Lift your voice in prayer. And there are the zunda and the sazis, gragadania and the musante. By eternal life, every wrong thing in my blood is silenced. Brothers and sisters, pray. Alama Sana Adelia no Salatiata. Lord, we declare, by the word of God, we are not born of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of blood, but we are born of God. And by this birth, We program ourselves by the life of God. Salabarode kasata. We program our body by this life to heal itself, to rejuvenate itself. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. This life has programmed our medical careers, our medical professions, our legal profession, our ministerial positions. Hey Lord, for success, our children have been programmed. This has been programmed into my very DNA, programmed into my very life. I am wise, I am disciplined, I am holy, I am sanctified by this life. In the name of Jesus, you are going to pray for the next 2 minutes. Whatever you are doing today, you are going to declare that by eternal life. You have the wisdom to excel at it. You have the strength to excel at it. It cannot die in your hands. Listen, this life you carry, there is nothing it can do. It has been tried, tested, and proved. God said that you have received power to become. You can decide not to, but you can decide to be. The day you decide, grace will be made available. And today is the decision day. You are going to lift your hands and declare, I cannot die a sickler. I will die a strong man. Healthy in my bed, seeing all my children and blessing them. Your eyes will be closed. Whether you want to kneel down, whether you want to sit, whether you want to lie down, all your prayer is for what I have been called to do by reason of this life. I am going to finish it. I will run my course. I will finish it because of this life. Lift your hand and talk to God now. There is a life available. There is a life available. There is a life available. I am a carrier of this life. I can never go down. Say in the name of Jesus. By this life, I can never be disadvantaged. By this life, I cannot die premature. By this life, what Jesus did, I will do. How Jesus walked, I will walk. How Jesus loved, I will love. But this life, I cannot be cursed. I cannot be frustrated. I cannot be disadvantaged. But this life, I am telling you that the life of God, you are carrying it. Do you know what it means? Angels are envying you. You are a carrier of the life of God. What will you do with it? Your hands lifted. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a carrier of eternal life. Because I have the Son. If anybody has the Son, he has the life. I confess that I have the life of God. And from today, the benefits of the life of God, I will live it.
Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Mandate with Apostle Sidney Quay, Head Pastor of Shekinah Avenue. For prayer and counseling, please call 0200-999-852. Join us for our Sunday services from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Locate us at Shekinah Avenue Auditorium, opposite the Washing Bay, Saika, Obodo, East Legon. Remain blessed.